All right, joining us right now on the SDCCU fan hotline is Coach K. No, not that one. Our own Coach K, John Quintera. On our day that we're celebrating the life and times of Tony Gwynn and Coach, coaching to your dad right up there with the rest of us. Hi, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well today, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about the great Tony Gwynn today. Unfortunately, we don't have enough of time in the show for me to share all my stories.
Yeah, you got 4 minutes, so... No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I got four stories for you, then.
Well, then let's hit a couple of them.
Okay, well, the first one was the night that Tony broke into the big leagues. I was dating my wife, and now of almost 36 years, we went to the ball game, and, you know, little did we know that when they were going to announce the starting lineup, that Tony Gwynn was going to be in the lineup playing center field that night, because we didn't have Twitter, and we didn't have all this social media. So I was fortunate enough, Kelly and I, to be down the right field line, see Tony's first two major league hits that night. He got that first one off of Sid Mongey, and the Padres ended up getting beat that night. But that was always a thrill, knowing where Tony went years later, to having been there to that very first ball game. Give you another story that I shared on my show yesterday, and actually my open yesterday was pretty much based around your guys' show from the day before, because I got kind of emotional driving down to Pechanga the other night to do that Strike Force game, and I wanted to call in, but I was enjoying listening to all the great stories on your program on Thursday, so I had to share some of them yesterday morning. Back in the early 90s, Brad Sesmet was doing the Aztec basketball games, and San Diego State wanted Tony to do the games, and you know, I'd gotten to know Tony fairly well out there at the ballpark, and he knew my background in sports and in basketball, and you know, he really didn't want to do it. He'd rather go watch Anitra or Anthony in those days, play their sports. And if he was going to a basketball game, he wanted to watch the ball game rather than have to talk about it. And so he told Brad, he goes, you know what, have Coach Quintera do the game. So that was my introduction to doing a lot of stuff for San Diego State over the years. Eventually, you know, I did a number of years of basketball and a number of years of football. But, you know, Tony gave me a great break there. Another story was every year I was going to spring training, I used to broadcast most of the time from the Hampton Inn right across the street there from the Peoria complex. And, you know, Tony was always concerned about when I was coming over. And he'd always want to know, hey, what week are you coming? You know, what's your first broadcast? Because I guess one or two things. Number one, he either wanted me to get off to a really, really good start that week by being my first guest, which he was every year, by the way, or he just wanted me to make sure I didn't keep bugging him all week until he finally did it. So that was a great one. And we had so many great interviews sitting in the lobby of the Hampton Inn. I mean, people, it was a Seattle Mariners minor league hotel. And you can't believe the kids that would surround Tony and I while we were doing this interview, and guys looking down from the balcony. I mean, everybody wanted to hear everything what Tony had to say. And then the last time I saw Tony, I was doing, and Chris, you can relate to this a little bit, because, I did the Steve Fisher show from Rockin' Baja Lobster down in Mission Valley every Thursday night. We did it at, 6 o'clock, and I'd do an hour with Coach Fisher, and then I'd go into my regular show. Well, Jerry had died the prior Sunday, Jerry Coleman. And so my whole show that night was going to be based around Jerry Coleman, because, you know, we love Jerry, and the memorial service was going to be on Saturday. And maybe the greatest thing in my broadcasting career, I've been honored to host on radio, unfortunately, the memorial services for Junior and for Jerry, and unfortunately for Tony as well. But that night, I had set up Tim Flannery, Bob Chandler, Ted Leitner, and we had a few other guests, and I had talked to Tony 2 days earlier. I said, Tony, hey, I need you on Thursday night. He goes, Coach, I'm going to be at a baseball event in Los Angeles. Just keep calling my phone, and I'll get to it. Well, you know what? I knew that was going to be a long shot, because when Tony's out on a field, number one, he was never in a hurry to go anywhere. He loved being on a field. He loved talking to ball players, and you knew he was going to be besieged with autographs. So it ends up, we call, 20 times, and he don't answer. So 2 days later, we're at the memorial service. About 10 minutes before the memorial service starts, Tony walks in the booth, and I'll be honest with you, Tony was not well at that time, and Tony, you know what I'm talking about. In January of the year that your dad passed, he was hurting. I mean, he was battling every day, and he's battling hard. And so he goes, "Coach, do you need me today?" I go, "Certainly I need you." He goes, "Okay, I'm going to go sit in the booth right next to you here. And when the memorial's over, I'm going to come over and we'll do what we need to do." So he came over. For 35 minutes, we went uninterrupted, just talking about Jerry, because him and Jerry had an incredible relationship. They really did. They would commiserate all the time about the good, the bad, the ugly that was going on with the organization, or the frustrations of not being able to, you know, punch through a game maybe the night before. So anyways, so we get done, and to this day, I'm really disappointed. I don't have the tape to that interview, but fast forward a couple of years ago, I'm working for John Boggs, and John Boggs and I, we were talking about Jerry's memorial for some reason. We'd gone to lunch, and John and Jerry were really good friends, and they used to go to lunch occasionally. And so anyways, we're talking, and we get talking about Jerry's memorial, and he goes, "You know, the day that the memorial happened for Jerry, Tony, you know," I said, "Hey, Tony, we're going to go sit down in the first row." He goes, "Oh, no." He goes, "I got to go see Coach." He goes, "I owe him one." And so, you know, that's the kind of guy Tony Gwynn was. You know, he was loyal to the guys that were loyal to him. Even the guys that maybe he wasn't a big fan favorite of, he might give them a hard time for 20, 25, 30 minutes, but he would always give them what they needed in the end of the day. But just a great friend. I can't tell you how much I miss him every day. And, I mean, there's so many mementos. I'm sitting in my office now. I got a Tony Gwynn bat. I got a Tony Gwynn ball. I got Tony Gwynn posters. I got my Tony Gwynn bobblehead. I mean, half of my office is Tony Gwynn. He's just an amazing man.
Coach, outstanding stuff. Talk a little bit about where he fits in the pantheon of baseball. I mean, we've talked all about a lot about the personal things, and we know he's a Hall of Famer. We know he's one of the great hitters of all time. But let's say another 25 years go by. I mean, where's Tony Gwynn going to stand then? Still right up there, right?
Well, I certainly think so. I mean, everything he brought to the game, I think playing for the same ball club, Chris, for 20 years, you're not going to see that. I can't imagine anybody doing that. Maybe Nolan Arenado, if he's able to hang around now that he signed that long-term contract. But, you know, I just don't see it. And, you know, I've covered a lot of really great players in San Diego and Southern California. And, you know, I mean, I could go on and on. But, you know, there's nobody that I ever covered was as good as Tony Gwynn, both on the field and off the field, and the respect that he had for people knowing they had to do their job. You know, he's just a special guy. But you know what? Here's the deal with Tony. Tony just, he likes sports. I mean, he's like us. I mean, he wanted to wear his shorts. He wanted to wear, you know, his ball cap around, his sunglasses. I saw him more on top of his hat than I did on his face. I mean, he just wanted to go to a ball game. That's what he liked. And I'm going to share another story here before I get out of here. You know, there was one Thursday afternoon game, and I spent a lot of time in the clubhouse, because I could go out there in the afternoon because I was doing a lot of those night shows back in the day. So, I'd go out and hang out at the ballpark. And on this one day in particular, I was off. It was a Thursday afternoon. The Padres had won an afternoon game at Qualcomm Stadium. And Tony normally would be in the cubicle right outside of Bruce Bochy's office, icing both of his knees. And he was never in a big hurry to go anywhere unless one of his kids had a ball game. But this night in particular, it was about 5 o'clock. And I never seen him scurry around his cubicle the way he did. I go, "What are you doing?" I go, "Where are you going?" He goes, "Oh, I got to get down to the Jackie Robinson YMCA. I promised them I'd do a hitting clinic tonight for all the kids down there." He goes, "I got to get going. I got to get through the traffic." And, you know, again, I mean, here's a guy that just played a Major League Baseball game. They win a tight ball game. I think they won it, like, with a couple of runs in the bottom of the eighth inning. He comes in, and he's moving, like, faster than I'd ever seen him in the clubhouse, because he made a commitment to these kids down at the Jackie Robinson YMCA. And, you know, just another proof to what this guy was really all about.
There's no doubt that he was a stickler for being a professional, and that's where I learned everything I know.
The right way.
Exactly. It's still the mantra there down at San Diego State.
Yep.
Coach Quintero, always, we love having you on, man. Thanks for coming on and sharing your experience with my father.
Thanks, Coach.
You know, my only regret, Tony, all the years I was around your dad and great stories, and I was with him the morning of his last game against the Colorado Rockies. Me and Wayne Hagen spent a lot of time with him that morning all by ourselves, and I'm kind of jealous, but I never got a picture with him because we got that media badge and we're not supposed to be green flies.
That is correct. That's just you being a professional at this point.
You know what, Coach? Get one of your daughters or granddaughter to come in and Photoshop one nowadays. You can pull that off.
I might have to do that. I'd certainly like one, but you know what, more than anything else, I got great memories in between my years, and to be able to get to know guys like Tony Gwynn and Jerry Coleman, it's a dream come true because I idolize those guys the way they went about their business.
No doubt. No doubt, Coach. We're lucky to be in the media in San Diego with all the people we got to hang around with. Coach, thanks so much. We'll see you Monday.
All right, boys. Thank you, and a great show.
All right, thanks,
Thank
Coach.
You.
Coach John Quintero, 5 to 9 a.m. Monday mornings here on 97.3 The